Let's see, is my sound working? Are you able to hear me? It's working okay? Good. I just seen some doubtful expressions back there and thought maybe it's always good to be able to come and to worship with you here at the Alliance Church in Fort Qu'Appelle. Somehow it seems like when I come here, it's almost like coming home. And I appreciate that so very, very much. The last time I was here, and of course, let me go back up a step. Because I'm only visiting, I don't know all the titles that you give your various leadership. I know you've got a church board, you may have church elders, and so on. But I was talking to somebody that I think was important last time I was here. Now, whether he was a board member or an elder, or he just made me think he was, I'm not sure. Anyway, when I was talking to him, I talked to him about the importance of the body of believers as being the body of Christ in this community. And if you work together as the body of Christ, there's no limit to what God can do through you. We as individuals have responsibilities. But our responsibilities also reach out to touch those around us. And so our ministry is not it's not a lone ranger. When Matthew comes, he ain't called to do it all. He can only do it to the extent that you work with him in unity and in purpose. And I feel like I'm part of that. Now, Dennis gave a few statistics here. But I wanted to add another one. It's about 13 years ago that I first filled this pulpit. And how many times I've been since then, I really don't know. But I know this, that I have invested a great deal of time in prayer, preparation, and being here to share with you what I believe God wants on each occasion. And I have tried to do that faithfully. In all these years, though, I have never been as excited as I am today in anticipation of your future with a new pastor. You know, it's quite possible, if the Lord tarries his coming just a little while, that Pastor Matthew may well be the last pastor this church will have before the rapture when Jesus comes to call us all home. And if that is true, and it's a little sad, this may be the last sermon I'll ever preach in this building. Unless you give him holidays and invite me back. But the future of this church depends upon the vision of the leadership, but also it depends upon working together in building the kingdom of God. The message I'm preaching this morning is probably a little different than anything I've ever preached here before. It's maybe more teaching than preaching, but I believe with all my heart that it is the message God laid on my heart about 3 weeks ago. Going back a step about a year ago, my pastor asked me to preach on a given subject in our church in Regina. He said he believed that God had asked him to ask me to deal with this subject. And I believe this morning that this message I have is a message for every church in this hour of church growth and church development. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the privilege of being a servant of yours. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for giving me health and strength. Thank you for walking with Phyllis and I through these years when we have seen your hand move in various ways to establish the kingdom of God in our time. And so, Father, bless your word today. And as was prayed in the prayer room earlier, we pray that each of our hearts would be open to receive your word, not mine, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen. In the early 70s, we pastored in Toronto for a few years, and at one of our camp meetings, or several of our camp meetings, we had an elderly pastor from Windsor that I always enjoyed when he took the offering at camp meeting, because he always had a little story, he always had a little tidbit that he added in. And on one occasion, he got up to take the offering, and he said, you know, there are a few things in life that are free. Water and the gospel. But he said, when you get your water bill, you'll notice that the water is free, but it costs to have it piped to you. He says, the gospel is also free, but it costs to have it piped to you. And how true that is. But as we understand that, we understand as we become partners in that piping, that we become kingdom builders, and that's the title of my message today. We are together kingdom builders. I am so grateful. When I was a young boy, Pastor Ball from the church in Kelvington rode his bicycle 5 or 6 miles each way, summer and winter, to preach the gospel in our little schoolhouse. And that's where I first heard that Jesus loved me. Pastor Ball was a kingdom builder. God allows us to invest in kingdom building through what the scripture refers to as tithing. Now, I have no intention this morning to give you an in-depth study on tithing, because I'm assuming your pastors have already done that. If they haven't, they should have. And if they haven't, tell Pastor Matthew he should, okay? But I do want to remind you today that that's God's plan for the church. What we fail to understand at times is that the fundamental purpose of tithing in both the Old Testament and the New is to support the work of ministry, of sharing the light of God's word to the community and the world in which they found themselves. In the Old Testament, tithing was how the priests were supported, and the tabernacle was supported, and the ministry that went on within the tabernacle. And within the New Testament, the church is the avenue through which God works and the avenue through which the gospel is spread into a community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're taught how that by tithing, we support God's plan to reach the ages at any given time. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 15. If you would turn there, and I believe it's also on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 through 14. Paul said, don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered at the altar? And he's talking here about the Old Testament tabernacle, the Old Testament priesthood. Then he goes on to say, and this is what some people don't understand. He said, in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. That's the reason for tithing. Now, let me just put in a little side note here. I have heard over the years people say, well, the reason preachers preach on tithing and giving is they want to line their pockets. Well, I got news for you. Mine ain't lined. I also have news for you, and that is that if you tithe, beginning today and for the rest of your life, into this body of believers, I'll never see a nickel of it unless you invite me back. And by the way, I do appreciate your honorariums that you give me. But I'm not preaching because I believe that I need the money. I'm not even preaching because God needs the money. He doesn't. But God needs your heart. He needs your obedience. He needs your worship. And this is one way that we can do that. So tithing is to support the work of ministry, both in the Old Testament and in the New. In the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was in place the tabernacle probably wasn't in place yet when they received the word of tithing. Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 32. And here's an explanation. He said, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. There's two basic things that we learn from this scripture. The first one is that the tithe, the first 10% of your income, belongs to the Lord. Do you remember when Israel went into the promised land? Have you ever wondered why they weren't to take anything out of the first city that fell? When they marched around the wall, God said, don't take anything. The reason they were not to take anything, God said it was holy because it was the first city. It was the first fruit of their taking the country back for Israel. And the reason they got into trouble, Achan got into trouble, is because he took what was holy. This scripture says that the tenth belongs to the Lord. It isn't mine. After pastoring all these years, I've been amazed at how many cars are God's. Let me leave it there. Tithing is the first that comes, it's the first fruit. And he said it belongs to the Lord, and then he adds something that's really unique. He said it is holy. What does that mean to you? It's something that's very special that God has placed in my hands, that I have the privilege of carrying back to the body of believers, back to the church, back to the ministry. And God says, you can do that in obedience. And I thank God for that privilege. Looking at that verse again, he said it's his, it's holy. But did you also notice that if you want to keep some, you can? Now, the reason for that was that there were some people that were supposed to bring their offerings to the temple, their sheep, the first fruit of the flock. But they were too far away to manhandle it in. So he said, if you want to redeem it, if you want to use it for yourself, then when you come to the temple, you pay 20% interest on it. Now, if you want to keep some of your tithe to buy that car, when you get convicted, you pay 20% interest on it. But you know one good thing? God will forgive you if you want to start over fresh today. God loves you so much. You see, that's how important tithing is. It's God says if you want to use it, you can, but it's going to cost you 20%. Do you remember when mortgages were up around there? Man, were we pressed hard. Anyway, it's God's, but you know, tithing is not only an investment, there's benefits that come to it, to us. It's a means of worship. Just a few minutes ago, the offering plate came by. Now, I know that we worship different ways. My wife and I, we pay our tithes once a month. What a blessing that is. But the other 4 weeks or 3 weeks, when the offering plate goes by, I can say, thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to be able to worship you this way last week. It's a means of worship. It's a means of showing gratitude. Oh, I'm so grateful that I can tithe. My oldest son is in business in Swift Current. He's in construction. And he said that some people were talking to him about paying taxes. Of course, this was probably a few years ago, maybe when the election was on last time, I don't know, and taxes were being brought up. But he said, you know, Dad, he said, I am so grateful that I am able to put, and he made a figure that was far beyond what I make in a year, I pay in taxes. Because he said, I've got school for my kids, I got a police force, I've got a free country to live in, I've got roads to drive on, I am so grateful. And my friends, I am so grateful because I've got a church to worship in. I am so grateful I've got brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ that can come and stand beside me when things are rough and I need a helping hand, not helping physically necessarily, but just the encouragement and the prayers and the goodwill that comes from being part of the body of Christ. I am so grateful. Not only do I worship, not only am I grateful, but it shows that I have an expression of obedience, of faith, that God is going to use the 90%, that allows me to use the 90% for His glory as well. Because you see, it's this way. Let me just jump a bit, and I'm not going to be preaching from Malachi. But in Malachi, it says that if in the third chapter, it talks about Israel, that a curse rests upon them. God doesn't curse you. But the curse comes when God lifts His hand off me. When I neglect or if I refuse to tithe, God says, that's okay. If you want to run your life on your own, go ahead. But every time I try that, I get in a mess. Because I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I don't have enough comprehension of what's happening all around me to do it wisely. But when I tithe, one of the benefits is that I can come to God and say, Heavenly Father, I need Your hand of protection for my family. I need Your hand of protection in guiding my kids. I need Your hand to give me wisdom as how to live with my spouse. And I know she needs wisdom to how to live with her spouse. I know that. Somebody asked me this morning if we lived in an apartment. And I said, no, we don't. We live in a house. Because if we were in an apartment, I'd drive my wife crazy. But you see, when we tithe, God can help us in all of these areas of our life. In our spending, in our relationships, in our kingdom building, it's wonderful. You see, we're workers together in the kingdom of God. Every individual counts. Every sprocket in a wheel, in a gear, is important. Every spoke in a wheel makes a difference. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he talked about working together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, he said, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you come to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted, that was Paul. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-laborers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We are workers together with God. But if Paul hadn't sown, and if Apollos hadn't watered, God could not have given the increase. If you do not support your church with your tithe, God cannot cause it to grow. I'm being fairly blunt this morning, and I know that. But it's a message that I believe God has implanted in my heart to share with you, because I have a great vision for this church, and I'm going to share that in just a moment. Tithing and giving is of eternal value. But since it's God's plan, Satan also has a plan. And one of Satan's tricks is to get you to live beyond your means. To get that little piece of plastic that you carry with you to become your master instead of your servant. But oh, when you tithe and honor God with your substance, He will help you control that as well. Because you see, the benefits are not only temporal in this life, it's also in the life to come. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and when thieves break through and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I read something recently, and I thought it was kind of interesting. A man said he didn't want to walk the streets of gold broke. He wanted his treasure to go ahead of him. I don't know what my treasure, what my investments are going to be like in heaven. Maybe I've had couples where broken marriages were on the verge, and they came and I was able to help them, and they'll both be there with their families. Maybe it'll be a family from Nigeria that heard the gospel when Gary and Eva Becker were there during the uprising of the 70s, and we were supporting them. And they lived in Nigeria until they were forced out. And that's a story by itself, but they seen many, many, many Nigerians come to know Christ. Maybe one of those families will come and say, "Because you supported missions, I'm in the kingdom." Maybe it's an orphan from one of our orphanages around the world that I've supported. I don't know what my investment's going to look like in heaven, but I'm excited because one of these days I'm going to be able to see what God has provided for me. You see, tithing is a natural result of commitment to God, our commitment. A little personal testimony here. When Phyllis and I had announced that we wanted to get married, there were a lot of doubting Thomases in the country. They said it'll never work. Well, they had reason to. My wife grew up in the city of Windsor. She was a city girl, went to a public school with 1,000 students, lived in a house with running water and electricity and all the benefits of city life. I grew up in northern Saskatchewan, went to a one-room school, grades 1 to 10 with one teacher. The only running water we had is when I took a bucket and run to the well for it. We had no indoor plumbing. We had no electricity. Out in the Biffy, we had an Eden's catalog hooked over a... I sure hated it when I got down to those glossy pages. We were different, that's for sure. I was a serious evangelist back then, and she was fun-loving young lady. But you know, we had something in common. We both know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We were both saved, sanctified, living by the Spirit of God, and committed to working in the kingdom of God. We both believed in tithing, and that's important because many marital problems are resolved from finances. Her father was the clerk of their local church, and he always told her, "Phyllis, don't rob God." We had an old Pentecostal farmer that lived next to us in Kelvington. My dad didn't practiced tithing when he first got saved. And Brother Ralph would come over and he'd say, "Charlie, if you don't tithe, God's going to take it back some other way." Now, I don't know whether robbing God and God taking it some other way is good theology or even scripturally proven, but it works. And I believed it, and Phyllis and I practiced it. When we first went to Maple Creek in 1955, the first month we were there, the church gave us $25. And we had a year-old daughter to support. From that $25, we put $2.50 back in the offering the next Sunday. We never starved. We never went cold. God met our needs. You see, it's a matter of personal commitment. And I love the promises of God that we have in His Word. You see, when we honor God with our commitment, God honors us with some commitments too. And I like to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and we're going to kind of look at it briefly or maybe rapidly here. I'm not sure which we should do. But it said in chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." And I think I'm a testimony that God has kept us many years. And the idea of peace and prosperity is wholeness, health, and harmony. God's shalom. Verse 3, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." And that word "let" is a matter of me taking and making a decision to do something. And then he said, "Let love." And the word "love" is really loyalty to one's commitment or covenant. And he said, "Let me be committed to God in faithfulness," and that so on. And then down in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." And oh, isn't that so true? "In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." Oh, what a promise. If I honor God, He will be with me. Verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Then verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and the vats will brim over with new wine." Then all your barns will be filled with overflowing. God will meet all of your needs. If you commit your way to Him, He will commit Himself to taking care of us. I talked about Malachi, and I'm not going there, but in the midst of that scripture in Malachi, God said, "If you tithe, there will be food in God's house." In other words, the provision to carry on ministry will be there if you honor God with your tithes. And then in verse 12 of Malachi 3, there's an interesting statement, and I believe this is so important. "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." What is he saying? He's telling Israel, if you honor me and the nations around will see my hand of blessing on you, it will make a difference. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you will honor God collectively with your tithes, this church body will be spoken of favorably in this community, and people will know that you make a difference. Probably the greatest testimony I heard concerning a man that was a farmer was when Phyllis and I went to council to pastor back in about 1958. And council is right south of Maple Creek, close to the border, and there's a little border crossing that we wanted to go down into the States. We went down, We shopped in the States and we came back, and the border guard, his name was Jiggs. He's a little short gentleman, kind of rough and tumbled. Anyway, when we got to the border, Jiggs said, kind of gruffly, "I don't know you, where are you from?" I said, "From Council." He said, "I know everybody in Council, what are you doing there?" "Well, I pastor the Church of God." "Oh, that's Pete Reeser's church, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "If you're Pete Reeser's pastor, you've got to be okay, way you go." Oh, I was so grateful for Pete Reeser and his testimony. And I'm here to tell you that if you will honor God with your tithes, you will have that kind of a testimony right in this community. I mentioned earlier that water is free and the gospel is free, but oh, what a privilege it is to be able to carry it to the community through the church that God has made you a part of. There have been many great leaders in the world, and I'm not going to talk about all of them, but I believe that something that some of these leaders have said can be passed on to us today. For example, John F. Kennedy said, "Ask not what our country can do for you, but what can I do for my country?" I'd like to rephrase that for the church this morning and say, ask not what God and the church can do for you, but what can you do for God and the church? Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream." And I'm here to tell you that dreams can become realities. It can become realities for this church. It can become realities in this community if you as an individual, a body of believers, will move forward in faith and obedience to God. I have a vision for this church. I sat back here this morning and I watched these little ones on the platform. I have a vision for them growing up, if Jesus tarries, and going to Bible school and coming back and working in this church, working on the mission field, working in the kingdom work. I have vision for these young people that are sitting here this morning, that God can place his hand on any one or all of them and move them into ministry and into leadership. I have a vision for this church that your singing is going to go back to those windows, that one day these walls are coming out. You're going to build a gym and an education wing, and this church is going forward for God. If you will stand with your pastor and with your means and support and obey God. Because we're going to sing, "He's the same yesterday, today, and forever." And I believe that that's what's going to happen. We've had the privilege of pastoring a number of churches. We've been not church planters, but we've been church builders. We've been faithful in ministry. And of six of the churches that we've pastored, they were maybe running less than 100. Some were running less than 50. When we were there and we pastored them for several years, some of those same churches are running 500 and 600 in attendance today. Why? Not because we were there, but because we taught the people to be faithful and be obedient to God. Worship team, come back and sing for us as we join in harmony with "Yesterday, Today, and Forever." Oh, the master builder is the same.